Hello, I'm Pastor Rick, and welcome to our podcast. I hope that the message that you're about to hear will bless and encourage you today.
Let me make sure I talked about everything. All right. Thank you. You're moving me forward. Thank you. I hope I can communicate clearly today what the Lord has been stirring in my heart over the past few weeks and months. There's a problem, folks. Listen up. Let me tell you how I see the problem. The world has gone mad. I got it true. You believe that? I need a good amen this morning. The world has gone mad.
Amen.
Man, it sure is. And you know what? And it's trying to take us with it. Now, not into its madness. That's not what it's trying to take us into. The madness of the world in which we live is beating upon us and working us over to the point that we are growing weary. And this morning, I want to talk to you about what we can do. See, we've all experienced a global trauma. That is now what it's being called in the literature. Psychologists and others who study culture have said that we have gone through a global trauma. It's been composed of a pandemic, financial upheaval, racial tension, violence, political unrest. There's election issues, supply chain disruptions, war in the Ukraine, the mass shootings. The list goes on. Our world has gone mad, and we are all experiencing a trauma. Interesting that some people have said that the pandemic and its after effects, this is what they're calling it, will be the World War II of our generation. Now, not that the world went into a war, but the cultural and the psychological impact of the 2 years that we have all walked through together will have an impact on our world, our culture, our psychology, similar to what World War II did on a previous generation. The tensions around quarantines and masks and vaccines and e-learning and working from home, the closures, the social distancing, the grief, the fear, the despair, the depression, the deaths of loved ones, and the loss of normalcy, the loss of being able to attend significant public events like your graduation or your child or grandchild's graduation, or not being able to attend a wedding. We're not being able to go to a birthday, or sadly, not being able to attend someone's funeral or be with them when they took their last breath. That is the impact. Those are the things that we as a culture and as a people are dealing with. One of the most common phrases that people have said after this time is, I just want things to get back to normal. I have some bad news. we're living in normal. And this normal's going to change too. We're not going back. We will have a new tomorrow, but it won't be like yesterday. But because of what you have experienced, because of what I have experienced, because of what your family has experienced, your loved ones have experienced, there has been, especially for us, the people of God, a weariness and a dryness that have set into our souls and our hearts. And what we all need is a restoration of our inner man. We need our souls restored. So this morning, and I'm not going to be able to solve everything, but I'm going to just give you some tips, some things from the Word of God, some things to help. I titled, He Restores My Soul. That's a line, of course, you know where that line comes from in the Bible? Where does that come from? Psalm 23, that's right, and that's what we're going to look at a little bit later. But we need a soul restoration. Laura von Demont Lipsky, hopefully I pronounced her name Dernot, Litsky or Dernut. She's an individual that's written about trauma. She says this about trauma. As hard as the initial trauma is, it's the aftermath that destroys people. As hard as the initial trauma is, it's the aftermath that destroys people. How you handle the aftermath of a trauma, that trauma might be the loss of a spouse or a child. That trauma might be going through an accident. That trauma may be our global, worldwide trauma. But the trauma will have an impact. But most of us can rise. We can dig deep into our reserves and rise to the trauma. But it's the after effect that makes the difference. That is what destroys people, according to Laura von Demont Lipsky. And we are currently living in the aftermath of a worldwide trauma. I've read some national stories, I've read things online, but I've just been interested in what our local newspaper says. Our local newspaper has been running stories about the emotional toll that the past 2 years have taken on people in our community. Drug overdoses are up. Anger is up. There are waiting lists for mental health services, and there are people that are leaving the mental health profession, and so the waiting lists are growing longer. Depression is up. Nationally, much is being written and studied, not only about the physical effects of COVID and long COVID and COVID brain and those things. We have one family member that is a long hauler, a COVID long hauler, and just watching him suffer as a 30-something-year-old man with the impact of this disease. But there are studies being conducted about the physical effects of COVID, but there are also studies being conducted about the mental impact. Not only of COVID, but of everything that has taken place worldwide, our souls are damaged, our souls are drained, and our souls are weary. Author John Eldridge, in his new book, Resilient, Restoring Your Weary Soul in These Turbulent Times, says this, and it's on the screen. Right now, we're in a sort of global denial about the actual cost of these hard years, which are not over. We just want to get past it all. So we're currently trying to comfort ourselves with some sense of recovery and relief. But folks, we haven't yet paid the psychological bill for all that we have been through. Don't you love the good news I'm bringing this morning? But this is our reality. I do have good news for you, but let's just talk about the reality. So what does, and this is just my opinion here, what does the aftermath feel like in a person's soul, in your soul or my soul? This is how it's been described. It's been described as a weariness of spirit, a sense that I just don't want to fight anymore. Not now. I don't want to deal with that now. Why bother? Who cares? I'm done. Those are expressions, those are phrases that go through people's minds. Not now. I don't want to deal with that anymore. Why bother? Who cares? I'm done. Quoting Eldridge again up on the screen, at some point, the weary human heart simply comes to the end of its reserves and says, I'm done now. I don't want to do this anymore. I think that's a powerful statement. At some point, the weary human heart simply comes to the end of its reserves and says, I'm done now. I don't want to do this anymore. See, during the trauma, during the things that came up, we went into our reserves. But for many, many of the people of God, many of the people that you are around, people that don't know God are in worse shape than those that do know God, our reserves are depleted and drained. What are we going to do? So we're going to talk about restoring our soul. This is the artwork that Christy has designed for this message. And finding healing for your weary soul. Because we're going to be talking about the 23rd Psalm, she's got a little stream in there, some still water, some grass. It's a green pasture. That's the way Christy sees artwork. Christy and I see artwork a little differently. In fact, she won't hear me. I'll talk to you guys. The first graphic that she did had this little lamb sitting in some green grass, and I thought, nah, I don't do lambs. I mean, but it was interesting because we talked about it later, and she said, you know, I really identify with a lamb. I identify with the peace that is. I don't identify with lambs at all. I don't know that I've ever met a lamb that I liked. And I don't usually eat lambs, so maybe there are some lambs that I like. But okay, so I decided to show you how I saw the graphics for today. This is how I saw the graphics, because that's what my soul feels like. He restores my soul, finding healing for your weary soul, because my soul is parched. My soul is dry, or has been dry, barren. And I'll say I've had my time of saying, I think I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I think all of us have. There have been a couple of times over the past 2 years. Okay, now, please don't judge me. I'm just being honest, and I'm trying to be transparent without kind of, you know, shocking anyone. All right. There have been a couple of times over the past 2 years where I have thought, getting drunk sounds really good. And you say, well, how would you know what that feels like, Pastor? I was a sinner before I was a saint. I haven't been drunk in decades. But that, think about it, okay? If I'm tempted, other people, what are they reaching for when their souls are dry and weary and they just want to escape? Now, and if you use this portion in some part of it, make sure I did not follow through and get drunk. Okay. I only thought about it. But I don't want to do this anymore. It's just like, I don't want to do life. I don't want to do pastoral ministry. It lasted only momentarily. But I can understand if you've been there too. You're not sure if you want to do your job anymore. You don't know if you want to stay in this relationship anymore. You don't want to know if you want to, you know, have those kids around the house anymore. You know, how old are they? When can they? That's what I was thinking, but that's not where I stayed. I have had to navigate this also to keep my soul refreshed. Other people, they probably did get drunk. Many people resigned their jobs without another job. Some people have checked out of life. They've just sort of locked themselves away, and their life is composed of binge-watching bones, or whatever you binge-watch. Some lock themselves away in their homes out of fear. Unfortunately, some, in the most extreme measure, they've taken their own life. But most of us have kept plugging along. But as we've been plugging along, this is what's been happening. We've drifted into more entertainment. We've drifted into more isolation. We're just trying to feel good or happy, and we just want some relief. And another discouraging thing that has happened is this. In this time, it is amazing how many people are falling away from the faith. They're checking out of church. They're checking out of relationships with other believers. They're checking out of Jesus. And this is also something that the Bible says is a sign of the soon coming of Jesus. This is a sign of the end. We are closer to the return of Jesus than we ever were. And some of the signs that Jesus and others who wrote the scriptures say will take place are happening now. And I believe, as do many others, that what has taken place over the past couple of years is part of the early signs before Jesus returns. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul said this, "Now the Holy Spirit tells us what?" What's that next word? The Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time some will turn away from the true faith. You have to have been in the true faith to turn away from it. And that is what we are seeing. I bet you can think of people who you would never have believed would turn away from the faith. They're not in church. They're not involved in things that they used to be involved in. They may have been individuals that you knew that you would never have thought of them as people who would drift away or turn away. But the Holy Spirit clearly tells us that in the last time, some will turn from the true faith. People are turning from Jesus and from his body, the church, in record numbers, statistics tell us. People who at one time seemed solid in their faith have now given up on faith, given up on church, and given up on Jesus. Jesus said this about the end times on the screen, Matthew 24, verse 12. "Sin will be rampant everywhere. Before his return, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold." That's something else that I'm seeing. The love that grows cold is love for Jesus and love for others. And we are seeing less and less people who once claimed the name of Christ, loving Jesus and loving others. Jesus said that one of the ways that people will know that we're his followers is by our love for one another. But do you know that churches have split in the past 2 years over minor issues? People have left the church over issues like masks or no masks, vaccines, no vaccines, which political party. People have left. The love of many has grown cold. Now, we can disagree about these things. I'm sure half of you disagree with half of the others, and you disagree with me. But disagreement doesn't mean we still don't love and can't love. Jesus said we'll love through our disagreements. You know, I can't help it if Evan, you know, his political leanings are so weird, but I'm going to love him. And I'm picking on him because he's around the office. Actually, I don't know what his political leanings are because we don't talk about it. John Eldridge, once again, quoting from his book, "The great and terrible falling away, that human landslide of weary and bitter hearts, is filled with people who have reached the points where their hearts have simply decided to settle for relief without the King. I'll take some happiness now, thank you very much, and whatever to the King." It's that subtle and that awful. We could call it the great spiritual resignation. The landslide is seen in the rising number of Christians, many young people included, who are either walking away from God or exchanging Christianity for a more universalist faith. Jesus said these days would come before he returned to earth. He also said this of his followers, and I'm just going to take some of his words and mash them together. He said this to his followers. He said this to you. He said this to you before the end comes. He said this to you and he said this to me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not fear. Be watchful. Remain steadfast and faithful. But I'm going to tell you, that's not easy when your soul is weary. When several times a week you think, I'm not sure I can keep this up. I don't want to do this anymore. I need some relief. I want things to go back to normal. So we've talked about the problem. The world has gone mad and it's trying to take us with it. Life has beaten us all up. Now let's talk about the solution for the next while. How can we restore our souls? First of all, let me make a general statement. Jesus loves you. He loves you and he has a solution to the dryness and the emptiness of your soul. He wants to and he will restore your soul if you'll let him and work with him. So how? We're going to go to the 23rd Psalm, one Old Testament passage that I chose. And you can follow along on the screen. I'm going to intersperse just a few comments and then I'm going to teach. I've got several points I want to make today. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I've taught the 23rd Psalm before, and one way of taking this first verse a little differently is not to make it a statement of fact, to make it an if statement. Because this will make a little bit more sense. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because the Lord is not everyone's shepherd. In fact, the passage of Scripture that was read from John 10 this morning said that the sheep, his sheep, know his voice. He's the shepherd. In fact, verse 11, which you stopped it at verse 10, which says, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come to give them life and to give it more abundantly. The very next verse says, I am the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. If the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. But if the Lord is not your shepherd, you will want. But David made this declaration. Now let's read it again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The question I hope to answer today from this passage is this. If God restores my soul, how does it happen? There's a note sheet. Hopefully you grabbed one. If not, take screenshots of the screens. You at home, the graphics will be coming up. The first thing, if God restores my soul, how? The first thing is this. True restoration of your soul is found only in Jesus. True restoration of your soul is found only in Jesus. You're empty. You're dry. And believers and unbelievers are trying to fill that emptiness, quench that thirst with other things that only work temporarily or not at all. Binge watching, alcohol, pot, other drugs, stimulants, pornography, hobbies, sports, playing and watching, video games. Now, some things like hobbies and playing sports and those gaming are good things, but they will never fully restore your soul. But because your soul is so empty, you just want a little relief. You just want some happiness. You go there. Now, I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning. I have something in my notes. Just everybody pay attention, okay, at home. There's a woman I'm talking to. I don't know who you are. God didn't show me a face. I don't even know if you're in the building. You may be online. You've been filling your emptiness with porn. And usually you would think that's a male thing, but I don't know who you are, but the Holy Spirit dropped you in. You're filling your emptiness with porn. And here's what I believe the Holy Spirit wants to say to you, and he would say this to men also, but whoever this female is who is filling the hole in their heart with porn, the Lord sees you. The Lord hurts for you because of your emptiness relationally. He loves you. And he wants to fill your soul so you no longer find this pornography fulfilling. Just something, I don't know who you are, you don't have to identify yourself. If you want to, this applies to you and you want me to pray for you, just connect with me privately. I don't know who you are, but let me say it again. The Lord sees you. The Lord hurts for you because of the emptiness relationally that you feel. He loves you, and he wants to fill your soul so you no longer find this porn fulfilling. Because at the time you find it fulfilling, then you find it guilt-producing, incredibly guilt-producing, and you've got these emotions, okay? Some of the things that we use to fill the holes in our life are sinful and foolish, and others, there's nothing wrong with them, but what's happened is they have monopolized our time. Whether it's a good thing or a not good thing, whether it's a hobby, whether it's gaming, whether it's social media, whatever it is, if you try to fill this dryness of your heart, you will ultimately be left drier and emptier because the restoration of your soul is found only in Jesus. Next slide, bring it up. It is Jesus within us that gives us resilience. It is Jesus within us that brings restoration of our soul. It's Jesus within you. Followers of Jesus Christ, born again men and women, Jesus is within you. He is the source of your restoration. He will be the source of your resilience. And I'm just going to say this right now at the close of this service. If you do not have Jesus in your life, you will not find restoration in your soul. Not the restoration that God has for you. A cup running over, not wanting. This will only be found by Jesus being within you. It is Jesus within us that gives us resilience. It is Jesus within us that brings restoration of our soul. Number two, true restoration requires following Jesus. It's only found in Jesus, but it also requires following Jesus. Now, I'm just going to read from the 23rd Psalm some of the statements are coming up. It says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He leads me in paths of righteousness. He walks with me in dark valleys. He prepares a banquet, which basically means he's going to prepare the food that you need. He anoints my head with oil. He does all of these things. What's the result? Your cup overflows. But let me tell you something. If he's making you lie down in green pastures, you don't have to stay there. A lot of people are led to the green pastures. He makes them lie down, and you zip off. Wait a minute. I did say a lot of people. Let's just make it personal. I zip off. He makes me to lie down. That's probably why I don't like sheep, Christy, because they're lying there. I gotta go. I gotta keep moving. And he makes me lie down. Okay, how long do I have to lie here, Jesus? It's been 12.7 seconds. Can I get busy doing something else? It says, he leads me besides the still waters. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. If he's leading, are you following? He walks with you through dark valleys. That's one that we always take great comfort in. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. But it kind of means that you're walking with Jesus. He prepares a banquet. Well, if you're not following, the banquet's prepared, or you're going to eat it. He anoints your head with oil. Are you there for him to anoint your head with oil? But the results of all of this is that your cup overflows. Are you following Jesus every day? Because if the Lord is your shepherd, these are things that can take place in your life. Your cup overflows. Number three, restoration takes work and it takes time. Jesus will do his part, but we must do our part. one Sunday occasionally in church will not restore your soul. Hear me, folks. One Sunday occasionally in church will not restore your soul. One morning of Bible reading at home will not restore your soul. One day of obedience to the commands of Jesus will not restore your soul. It's going to take time, and it's going to take effort and work. Number four, following Jesus means that you're following His Word. Jesus is called the Word of God. This is Jesus written down. We want to say that. He is the Word. You want to know what Jesus is like? You want to know what Jesus wants? Read it. Read it. And then follow it. There are people that follow with Jesus that's not the Bible Jesus. They think that Jesus would want them to do this, or they think that Jesus would act this way, or they think Jesus would want them to be happy, and so they go off into some type of a sinful behavior because they haven't read what Jesus really says. Do you know what the New Testament says? Do you know what Jesus taught when He was on earth? Do you know how to stand against the attacks of the enemy of your souls? You must learn how to read and apply the Bible. Now, I'm not talking about learning how to read. I'm talking about taking the time to read and apply the Bible. And I'm happy to announce, and so another little promo, it's time for the commercial. We faded to black. Here's the commercial. This fall, we have got two sessions coming up. One is called Rooted, and it's a class on the Scripture and the authority of the Scripture and how to get into the Scripture, and another class called Battlefield of the Mind. Do you know that most of the battles are up here? You've got to win this battle up in your mind before you're going to win some of the other battles. These are two of the classes that are going to be offered starting in September, and I would encourage you to take one or both. You can't take both. You can take one. Choose which one it is. But these are things that are going to help you to learn how to follow Jesus, to learn what the Word of God says. Number five. When your reserves are gone, you rebuild by adding to them and taking less from them. That one quote I mentioned earlier, I'll say it again. At some point, the weary human heart simply comes to the end of its reserves and says, I'm done now. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to use a practical example. If you have depleted all of your financial reserves, you have depleted all of your financial reserves, what do you have to do to build them back up again? Sherry and I, at one time in our marriage, remember I told you about Financial Peace University, we've been there, we depleted all of our financial reserves. We cashed in a 401k, we took everything that we had, we needed to move, we took all this stuff in, which meant we had no savings, we had no retirement, we cashed it all in. We have no reserves. What do you do when you have no reserves? Well, you have to restore your reserves. That means we had to increase income and decrease outgo, or combination of those. The same thing is for your soul. Rebuilding your soul, restoring your soul, means that you have to increase the feeding and the filling of your soul. Reserves are replenished when there's more coming in than there is going out. So, you got to increase the inflow, but you've also got to take less out of your reserves. And how do you do that? You stop some draining things and you pull back from draining relationships. You've got to stop some draining things and you need to pull back from draining relationships. Let's talk about adding. Adding to your reserves, how do you add to your reserves? You do that through corporate, regular worship in church. In the building is best if physically you cannot. If you are not in the building because it's convenient, it will not restore your soul the way being in the building restores your soul. God's presence is here. The atmosphere is different. Yes, it's wonderful to watch church online in your pajamas. I've done it when that's all that we could do. But after a few weeks, it was not restoring my soul the way that I wanted my store was sold. I restored. I couldn't wait to get together and to hear your voices. And we may have been scattered to the far-flung reaches of the sanctuary with tape on the seats, but we were here, and it's different, and your soul is restored differently in the building than it is on a screen. Now, I'm not criticizing screens. We're not stopping our stream. It's important. Do you know that every week there are 50 individuals that regularly log on to some, if not the majority, of the live stream? Some live, some on demand. That means there's anywhere from 50 to 100 people that are part of this congregation. You're part of our church family. For whatever reason, you are home. God bless you. But if you can get out, it's about time to get out of those pajamas. It's about time to say, I'm going to wake up early enough. It's about time to say, I need to get back where my soul can be fully restored. Something happens when God's people gather. But if you can't, God can work there. But corporate worship, personal prayer, personal scripture reading, reading other good materials, listening to music, listening to other materials. Here's something else that's very restorative. Something else that we lost for at least a good part of a year, and that is good relationships, one-on-one, face-to-face, mask-to-mask. We had to have it. But here's this. Listen to this statement. It's not coming up on the screen. The right people in our lives is restorative. The wrong people in our lives is draining and depleting. Now, don't elbow your spouse. Okay, there are some relationships we need to keep because those are the relationships we're in. But there are some relationships some of you are in, and you just need to cut them back. Because they are draining and depleting. You need to cut back on the draining things, and you need to spend more time on the restorative things. There's a story that was shared during this time. It said, a friend of mine got completely addicted to the news during the 2020 pandemic and U.S. presidential election, which was full of drama. He realized how upset he had become from the daily consumption of news, so he quit. Cold turkey. He walked away from the news for 6 months. And you might think that irresponsible, but Jesus gave us a simple test. You shall know them by their fruit. The fruit of the media consumption for this individual, listen to it, the fruit of the media consumption for this individual was stress, anger, depression, and rage. The fruit of him walking away, in this person's own words, I have more peace and joy in my life than I ever have. What is draining you? Again, some you can't avoid. Might be your job. It might be some family relationships. Those you can't avoid. But which ones can you reduce? Listen to this next statement coming up on the screen. Research shows a direct correlation between rising rates of anxiety and depression with the amount of time you spend on social media. Research is now proving a direct correlation between rising rates of anxiety and depression with the amount of time you spend on social media. If you spend 30 minutes a day consuming social media, news, TikTok, Twitter, whatever else is popular or you like, you probably need to equalize that with 30 minutes in God's Word and prayer every day just to keep you from going farther down. And I can tell you that I know of many people that 30 minutes a day is a drop in the bucket as to how much time they spend on their devices. Some of you need to cut back on the draining things. So I'm going to give you a way to judge. How can you know how you're doing regarding the restoration of your soul? Just very quick. What's coming out of your heart? What's coming out of your heart? Is it fear, anxiety, anger, rage? These should alert you that your soul is not restored. Is it depression, despair, anxiety, or hopelessness? Your soul is not restored. I had an incident over the past month where I saw frustration and anger rising in my heart over things that really weren't that big of a deal. It was like little things. And you ever been there? Little things. You know, the neighbor's animal left a present in your lawn. And it was on a leash. And they should have had a bag. And when I find my heart going, you know, remember the old cartoons where steam comes out of the air? That was me. Over a pile of dog dew. I've got a shovel 3 feet away in my garage. You know what that was? That was a warning. That was a wake-up. Oh, my goodness. My soul. Remember that picture I showed you of my soul? That was my soul. And I realized that, wow, I got to be careful because Sherry may say something, which, again, is probably nothing. But if my soul is not restored, I might just... And she's going, where did that come from? What did I do? And, you know, I don't know if any of you have been there. All of a sudden, then she says this, and I say this, and we say the other, and then she goes to her TV, and I go to my TV, and we restore our souls with Netflix. Ouch. And guess what? Netflix doesn't restore your soul. You say, yes, it does. I watch The Chosen. It's not the same. You know what I realized? I realized I was depleted again. But here's what I didn't do. I didn't beat myself up. I realized that I just needed to spend some more time allowing my soul to be restored. Now, if love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are coming out of your life, then you know you are living with a restored soul. Some of you will recognize that's Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. None of us will be perfect. It'll be a mix. But what comes out of your soul the majority of the time? If it's anger, rage, depression, discouragement, hopelessness, your soul needs to be restored. If it's love, joy, peace, kindness, long-suffering, faithfulness, your soul is in good shape. What's your soul like? What's your soul like? Time is rushing, but I'm taking extra time today. And so somebody probably should send a text to Jack or whoever and say, hey, Pastor Rick is going long. You better play another game with those kids. But I just feel that I want to finish. Number 6 coming up on the screen. Those who prioritize their souls will live in the overflow promised in Psalm 23. Those who prioritize their souls will live in the overflow promised in Psalm 23. If the team can come up to the platform, please, we're going to start transitioning to communion. Psalm 23 says, I shall not want if the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23 says, my cup overflows. Do you know what that means? Your soul overflows. Eldridge said at some point, the weary human heart simply comes to the end of its reserves and says, I'm done now. I don't want to do this anymore. The good news is, Jesus loves you. He is here for you. He wants to restore your soul. And the adjustment actually can be just as simple as readjusting your life around recovery and resilience, making that your orientation. The world really has gone mad, and you make a choice not to be pulled down with it. Make recovery your priority. Spend time daily reading the Bible, praying, listen to music that builds you up, both by music and lyrics. Be often in public worship services. Make sacrifices to get there. Cut back or cut out the stuff that drains and the people that drains. Bow your heads. I want you to just pray in your heart this statement, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me today? Speak to each of us, Lord, that we may get to a point where we can find restoration in our souls. Father, speak to that. That woman who is using porn to try and restore her soul. Father, you called her out, not to shame her, not to embarrass her, but you called her out because you love her and you have freedom for her. For others that are restoring their souls with, trying to restore their souls with things that don't last, Lord Jesus, show them what they are so that they can reduce them or cut them out. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. We're going to do one small restorative thing this morning. And that's receive communion. I don't believe that Jesus left this for his church as something just as a kind of a casual remembrance thing. I really do believe that there is some supernatural benefit for us properly receiving communion on a regular basis. I believe there's some soul restoration when we receive properly. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, maybe this is your first time at our church or you've never received communion here. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, you're welcome to receive with us. We don't have membership requirements for communion. We don't have that you have to go through the pastor's new believers class or something. All that you need to have done or do is to have opened your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If so, you are welcome to receive with us. Now, you got these little cuppy things? Let me tell you the simple way to do it. Take the front tab and pull it down. Don't pull it up. Pull it down until you hear it crack. When you hear it crack, it releases the little top clear thing, meaning you'll be able to get at the bread, and then you'll be able to also get at the wine or, well, the grape juice when it's available to you. We are going to receive this morning. If you have a weariness in your soul, at home, hopefully, you will be receiving with us. You've got your elements out. If not, go ahead and pause the feed right now. Go to your kitchen and get the elements so that you can receive. Where are you weary? Receive this morning with a focus on that area and say, Jesus, help me in this weariness, wherever your weariness is. Would you take the bread? Jesus, before he left us a meal of remembrance, but also a meal where I believe he comes in a very special way to minister. And on that night, the night he was betrayed, the night before he went to the cross, before he ever had a mark on his body, before the whip was there, before the beating was there, before the crown was placed on his head, before that took place, he was sitting with his friends and he took bread. And he gave it to them, passed it around the table, and he said these words, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Let us receive." Lord, you said that your body was broken for us. That means that our weary hearts, our broken and damaged and wounded spirits and souls, you let your body be broken so that we can receive healing and restoration. This morning, Lord, as we receive these elements, as people have reached out to you, begin to restore that area of their soul. Now, if you've taken, open the juice portion. When supper was over, he took a cup. Again, he gave thanks. He took the cup, he blessed it, he passed it amongst them, and he said, "Take now, all of you, and drink. This is my blood shed for you. Let us drink." Lord, we have received this cup, a symbol of your blood which was shed for us, but it wasn't just shed for the forgiveness of sins. It was shed for the healing of hearts, the healing of bodies. Lord, this morning, may the weary, wounded child who is either at home or who is here May they sense your spirit ministering to that dryness, that parchedness of their spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Would you stand?
Thanks for joining us for this message from Columbus First Assembly. If this message has blessed you in any way, would you share it on your social media feeds so that others can be blessed also? If you would like to join us for an in-person service and you're close to us, we are in Columbus, Indiana, then our services start at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings and our church is located on the corner of 10th and Iowa. Once again, thanks for joining us. Look forward to having you join us again soon.